The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a great Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, with you today on the road. Thanks to our good friends at Santan Ford for getting us here. Also, Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. We're on the road. We're with ASU for the game against UCLA. We're at the Tournament House in Pasadena. I tell you what, the Rose Bowl people, we've known this for a long, long time. The people in the business of bowls, they usually roll it out right. We have yet to be, Eric, when we were in the Vegas Bowl a couple of years ago, and I think it's safe to say that if I use the term Rose Bowl and Vegas Bowl in the same sentence, I'll be thrown out of this place because it's such a nice place here. But even at the little old Vegas Bowl, when we rolled in there a couple of years ago to do the show, they rolled out the red carpet for us, right?
Oh, yeah. Most of the bowls that I've been to or covered, they do it right. But it's hard because when you work in the same market as the Fiesta Bowl and the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, those people do it just as well, if not better than anybody.
Yeah. And so here, because I'm at the granddaddy of them all, I'm at the Tournament House here in Pasadena. I've got the Rose Bowl trophy. Literally, I can reach back and almost knock it off of its pedestal. They put me in this room with the Rose Bowl trophy, and I've got all this history and all this tradition and heritage here. And I was down at the stadium a little bit earlier and last night too, doing some things, and I'm just geeked up for tomorrow night. It's college football at its finest out here in Pasadena. And so on today's show, we'll have plenty of content, as we always do, around ASU and U of A. This weekend, we're going to be at the U of A Oregon game tomorrow. Sports 360 is going to be down there. Well, I'll be out here. So we're covering the big games as we do on the college front. It's kind of interesting this morning. One of the TV stations had one of their guys out in front of Sun Devil Stadium previewing the game, which I merely just pointed out to them. You guys, games in L.A., it's the Rose Bowl. And you're a big media company. You know, we're just kind of already out here. I could have helped you out. It's how it's progressed in our industry. It's kind of funny how that works. Chris Dufresne, at Dufresne LA Times. Chris Dufresne, national college football, basketball columnist for the LA Times. He'll join us on a national scale of this matchup, ASU-UCLA, the national implications. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of wise guys, as always, on Fridays. We'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us on ASU-UCLA, Baylor, Oklahoma State. I talked to Jimmy because this is his era. Today is the 50-year obviously, the assassination of JFK, and so everybody's been talking about that, and I want to know where Jimmy was when that happened. I wasn't born yet, so I can't give it context like a lot of people have been talking from a historical standpoint, and that's fine. That's fine. It's very interesting. It is a huge monumental day in our country. I've heard several of the tributes. Tonight, I will find a way to watch some of Brokaw tonight and Cronkite tonight, because I know they're doing retrospectives tonight on this. And I would encourage, I'm not going to say what you guys need to do is homework, because we're all about sports, but I'm also about having a life, too. It's a big deal. Goody at the movies. I'm going to talk to Goody, too, about the media coverage around JFK. And Hunger Games comes out today. Is this worth seeing? Jennifer Lawrence is in it, so of course it's worth seeing. That's all coming up on the show as well. Eric has our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
Well, Brad, it's only fitting since you are there at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and I heard there's a relatively big college football game there tomorrow. We're just going to ask you, the player who will have the biggest impact on either team tomorrow is... fill in the blank.
The long snapper.
I am going to say Will Sutton. Not because he will have Not because he will have a huge statistical game, but with UCLA starting three freshman offensive linemen, he is going to be able to free up plays for Jackson Hood and Gannon Conway and Davon Coleman. So that is my pick. I know it's the obvious one, but you have to think a little deeper. Think, below the surface a little bit.
Are you telling me I don't think below the surface much? I'm very superficial?
No, because No, not at all. But I knew as soon as I said Will Sutton, you would make some snide remark, which you did, so I just had to clarify my point.
Do you think I make snide remarks every day? I get a sense from you. You're getting a little sensitive about me making fun of your questions. Some days your questions are really good. Do I need to do a better job of conveying, hey, you have actually a good question here? Is that what you're saying?
No, because I actually like the snide remarks because it makes me think even harder, so you don't embarrass me on the air. So
But see, you embarrass me on the air sometimes too. Now take that for what it's worth. It's okay. That's I can get embarrassed. It's not what you say.
Anyway, head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like the page, share the input. Let's not make this show about us. Let's make it about everyone else. But
have you ever been into the Rose Bowl? Have you ever been to the Rose Bowl trophy room?
I have not.
The tournament house. So here's the thing. If ASU comes back out here, or if U of A ever makes it out here for the first time and they don't have to buy a ticket to get into the game, my suggestion is you come out here and we do another show from out here because the people here have been terrific. I don't think I'm going to get kicked out of here. And it's all about the game. The people at the Rose Bowl are very nice this morning to get down to. My only concern is how am I going to find a place to park tomorrow? That's where I'm at in life. I can get in. But that's where I'm at here. Let's get you caught up some of the things going on in the world of sports, some of what's on my mind. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains where we're just 6 days away from Thanksgiving. You head up to the Honda Resort and Casino where I'm sure there's plenty of snow falling. You're going to want to go to the Sunrise Ski Resort. You can make your reservations to stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, do some skiing, and at night pull down the slots, watch some great sports, eat some great food, have some fun. Why not head up, put it together, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. You will not be wrong there. The Honda Resort and Casino, and then the Sunrise Ski Resort. Sunrise is where you need to be for all your skiing. So tomorrow's matchup, here is Todd Graham, because there's some other ASU stuff I want to get to before we are joined up by Chris Dufresne of the LA Times. Todd Graham on tomorrow's matchup with UCLA here.
This is a big game. I can't say that it's not a big game. This is a game that we've pointed to all year long. If you walk in there in the defensive meeting room, you can look on the wall. You're going to see a schedule, and it has four helmets by four games. And this is one of those games. Stanford had one by it. USC had one by it. UCLA had one by it. And obviously Arizona has a big one by it.
That doesn't get you fired up. I don't know what's going to. Here is Jim Mora, his young football team. Maybe they're a year early. Maybe they're into the dance a little sooner than people thought. But Jim Mora, the head coach of UCLA.
I think what has helped us is the last few weeks where it's been tight, it's been tough. So if we get in a tough game down the stretch and it's tight, we know how to function. You know, we know how to handle it. We're not going to be overwhelmed by the situation. We'll be able to handle the environment, the pressure.
And we'll have a little bit more on this coming up in a few minutes. Chris Dufresne will talk further, and I've got some news and notes, some numbers, stats around the game, too, that I will share with you as the game moves on. I don't have a good feel about ASU tomorrow. I'll be straight up with you. And I know Sun Devil fans don't like to hear that, but I'm not on their payroll. I get paid to do a show. UCLA at home. I know ASU's defense gets after it, but this just feels like a UCLA game like 20-17 Bruins. It's not the end of the world. You could see it from there if ASU lets this slip away because then you have to beat the U of A next week. There's some of you that are giving me the whole, I don't care what happens against UCLA as long as we beat U of A. My gosh, that is so 1970s thinking. You have to move on from that. You have to move on from that. This is a bigger deal. That's a completely separate game for many, many reasons. But if you're like, well, if we lose the UCLA, as long as we beat U of A, that's all that matters, come on. Eric, did you see the story? A&M, Texas A&M against Arizona State, September 5th, 2015, down in Houston. How about that?
Love
I'm
it.
Liking this.
Love it, love it, love it for so many different reasons.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, they're figuring it out because after years and years and years of banging on them for just awful scheduling, they've finally come around on this, that, hey, it's not so bad. Playing all these big-time programs. We don't know how Texas A&M is going to be in a couple of years. Could you imagine, though, E, if Kyle Allen at Desert Mountain High School, who's already committed to Texas A&M, is the heir apparent, or one of them, to Johnny Manziel, is the starting quarterback for Texas A&M then against ASU?
There's
How thick would that be?
Yeah, there's no doubt. As soon as I saw that on Twitter, that agreement has been reached, that was the first thing that popped into my mind.
And here's the other thing. If Todd Graham is still the head coach at Arizona State by then, we don't know that, and I think if he were to go anywhere, it's going to be some school in Texas. The whole thing about how Steve Patterson is not allowed to go after Todd Graham, there's these people, and they're called lawyers. And there's this thing that, you know, you have a contract. I understand you have a contract. But let's be honest here. Let's just see how this all plays out in the next few years. I'm not one of those that ends up saying, well, you know, that's just the way it is, and we'll see. We'll see on that. So very excited for that. The high school football games have been canceled tonight, and I bring this up off the top before I even get to the Cardinals because it's the semifinals of the high school football playoffs around the state of Arizona. Eric, it's sunny out here. It is beautiful out here in Pasadena. It is just awesome. It's going to approach 70 degrees today. What am I missing back there that would warrant canceling tonight's high school football? And shouldn't football be played in the mud, in the muck, in the mire? Or have we come to the point where, no, we need it to be on an artificial turf, and it needs to be on an equal playing surface, and it's not fair to the kids to play on a field that is deemed unplayable?
I sort of hate to be the native Arizonan here, but I have to agree with the back half of that sentiment. If Arizona were filled with turf fields like the ones over at Arcadia and at Chaparral, and these games were at those sites, it would not be an issue. But if you were on Twitter and you saw what McClintock High School's field looks like right now, it resembles a lake.
Yeah. So what? I mean, I remember Dobson. It was like, I don't know, half dozen years ago, it was a playoff game, and it was at Dobson. There was the Jarrell Robinson playoff game at McClintock that was awful, and Hamilton should have won. They didn't. Jarrell Robinson was the most talented kid on the field, and they ended up losing. I think it was the Brophy. Come on, it's Friday night football. Are we concerned about kids' safety, or are we just thinking the integrity of the game? Is that where we are on this, Eric? Is it the integrity of the game? Is that what was at stake tonight? I'm not there. I don't have an explanation. Football's to be played out in the mud.
It's an interesting decision because they're going to play these games, Brad, on Monday. And if these teams in the semifinals advance to the finals, they're going to have 3 days before they play on Friday. So I'm sure the AIA put plenty of thought into this. And as of right now, here in Scottsdale, it's not raining. We'll just have to see. I guess we'll just have to see.
Well, I would think you would have to push back some of those playoff, some of those championship games. You can't ask 17 and 18-year-olds to turn around and play in 3 days. Last night I was trying to watch the Saints and Falcons. Guys, let's call it as it is. When you're playing the NFL on 4 days rest or 3 days rest, the quality of football last night was awful. It was awful to watch. And if you're going to ask high school kids to turn around and play the state title game in 3 days, how fair is that? You know, I don't get it. We're going to get into the Cardinals game as we move along too throughout today's show, and much more that's on my mind. But up next, one of the best in the business covering college football here in Los Angeles and nationally, Chris Dufresne, national college football basketball columnist for the Los Angeles Times. He joins me next. We're broadcasting today from the Rose Bowl Trophy Room. Thanks to Santan Ford for their support and Gateway Airport for them being involved as well. Those are two of our sponsors. We appreciate them. You can always jump on board on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.
More On the Road with ASU Football, presented by Santan Ford, right after this. Covering ASU football on the road. Brought to you exclusively by Santan Ford. Live from California, here's Brad Cesmat.
We're at the tournament house here in Pasadena. Brad Cesmat with Esports 360 AZ. It's a beautiful day here in Pasadena. We understand back in Arizona that the weather is awful. They've canceled the high school semifinal football games. That football is supposed to be played outdoors in the mud and slop. Well, it's the semifinals, for crying out loud. But the story, obviously, is out here, ASU, UCLA. We'll be at the game tomorrow. All sorts of coverage before, during, and after. And to give us a closer read, not just on this matchup, but what's going on in college football around the Pac-12. And nationally, one of the best in the business, in my opinion, a very good follow on Twitter. That's Chris Dufresne, at Dufresne LA Times, national college football basketball columnist for a couple of minutes. Chris, could you see this matchup at the start of the season, ASU, UCLA? At the start of the year, you thought, you know, that game is probably going to be deciding the Pac-12 South title, or are you surprised?
Well, I get a lot of things wrong in the preseason, but this wasn't one of them, because I actually picked Arizona State to win the South with, you know, over UCLA, and I saw this as the game that was going to decide it. And now, you know, like I said, I make a lot of mistakes, but this seemed pretty obvious to me. What I didn't see was, you know, USC getting better or being this good under I didn't see Lane Kiffin getting fired and Ed Orgeron coming in and making a push at the end. I saw Arizona State and UCLA as the two best teams in the South, and they certainly are. Now we'll find out who's the best team.
When we did our show up at Stanford, I remember talking to Todd Graham afterwards, and Jalen Strong actually said point blank, "We are going to meet Stanford again in the Pac-12 title game." And I said, "You know, after you just got your doors blown off, what is it about ASU since the Stanford game that, from your view, has been able to get them into this position? Is it the defense has finally come together? Is it just enough offense? What do you see out of ASU? Because, Chris, I don't think anybody nationally after the Stanford game thought that ASU was going to get it turned around like they have."
Yeah, you know, what happened in that game, though, was very interesting, and as you know, is that it was a blowout in the first half, and then Stanford sort of let Arizona State back in the game. And I think what happened at the second half of that Stanford game was Arizona State was able to get some confidence and some momentum going coming out of that game. And, you know, you mentioned the defense. What surprised me most about Arizona State, other than the Utah game, which was – it's hard to score points for a lot of teams in Utah, was the amount of points the offense is generating, and just being able to blow people out, and the amount of times they've put they've embarrassed people. They've almost embarrassed people the way Oregon has embarrassed people, or some of these really up-tempo teams like Baylor. And so I think I was sort of surprised, because I knew they had a talent on offense. I knew Taylor Kelly was a good quarterback. I knew they had weapons, but I don't think I was ready for this type of offensive explosion from the Sun Devils.
Chris Dufresne at Dufresne LA Times, national college football basketball columnist for the Times. You can follow him on Twitter again at Dufresne LA Times with Brad Sussmat today doing the show from the Tournament House here in Pasadena. Very nice of the Rose Bowl folks to have us out here. Great place to do the show from. Tell me about Todd Graham nationally in the view of the national media, because when he came into Arizona State, he wasn't the first choice. It was June Jones. There was Kevin Sumlin atop their wish list, and he quickly went to Texas A&M. And then Todd Graham was just crushed for the way he left Pitt. I think people held that against him for a year. It's been almost 2 years now. What's the view of Todd Graham as the coach, and is he using ASU maybe as a stepping stone for bigger jobs?
We don't know about the second part of that question, and that remains an open question until he stays somewhere for a long period of time. But I'll be the first to admit I wasn't a big Todd Graham fan, just the way he left Pitt. And I think, like a lot of national guys, I sort of dismissed them and just, you know, said, well, okay, well, we'll see what happens there. I completely underestimated his ability as a coach, notwithstanding all the other factors that have gone on in his career. So, watching him last year, the way the team progressed, that's why I sort of during the summer did a mea culpa and just said, you know what, you got to put aside what you think about him personally or what he did or the way he's left jobs and look at what he's done. And so that's what I did, and it sort of has worked out that way. What fascinates me about Todd Graham is that he's a defensive coach first, who runs, you know, who has this up-tempo offense. Usually it's the other way around. The guys, the Sumlins and the Mike Leaches and the guys that have their hands on the offensive throttle, where Todd's a defensive coach. Who is kind of given way to the spread on offense, and so you get the best of both. You get a really good defensive coordinator in the head coach, and then you get an exciting offense. So I think that's kind of the fascinating part of it.
No, and I would agree with you on that, because when he first came in, it was this guy's talking about his catchphrase was left lane hammer down, and fans just thought that was kind of interesting. He had his Texas twang, and yet here they are putting up lots of points, and their defense has gotten better and better. And I think all the talk about is he going to leave or not? It's out there in some people's minds, in particular now that Steve Patterson has left as athletic director off to Texas, and we'll see on that front. Brett Hundley, a local kid in Arizona from Chandler High School, I know him very, very well. What's your gut say about Brett Hundley returning next season?
I think he will return. I think he should return. He's had a really fine year, but this whole thing, UCLA thing, it was set up for next year. I don't know that they thought they'd be this good this year. They're playing a lot of freshmen, Miles Jack being one of them. But my sense, and I don't have any particular insight to this, my sense is that he'll come back and that he's not quite ready. In the losses that they've had, he's had some glitch moments, and I think there's some polishing that can be done. But that's always a tough call because the guy, we've seen it happen so many times where the guy is loyal to his school and he comes back, and Matt Barkley being the latest example of that, and not having a great last year and then really kind of hurting yourself in the draft. So, it's not one of those deals where I call anybody out or I said, he should do this or he should do that. But my sense is that he wants to come back, and he might be a guy where it benefits him coming back and getting an extra year.
Chris Dufresne, a couple other questions. We'll let him go. On Twitter, at Dufresne, that's Dufresne. It's like me with Sesmat. I have to spell it out. at Dufresne, LA Times. Appreciate his time for a couple. Right, we're used to it. It gets butchered and hacked and all that stuff, so in particular when people are hating on us. A couple other questions we'll let you go. We're at the tournament house here in Pasadena getting ready for tomorrow's ASU-UCLA game. Very, very standard, open-ended. Who's going to win this game tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to have to stick with my team. I did pick Arizona State. I see this as about as even, and I hate to cop out on this, but I look at this, it's even. I mean, it's even. It's a team, two teams with the same record. Two teams that won close games in Utah. Two teams that lost by 14 to Stanford. You can go up and down the rosters, and it's a picket game, and so it's one of the games I'm really looking forward to Saturday because it is so even, and it's like everything has happened that we thought would. The two best teams in the South are meeting for probably the South title, and it's going to be a fascinating game to watch.
Before I let you go, so the UCLA game against ASU is a big, big deal, but is it completely overshadowed by what Orgeron is doing over at USC?
I don't think so. I mean, those are two separate stories, two separate fan bases, two different parts of the city. I think what it has done is kind of slowed the tide of, the city has turned, and this is the rivalry has turned again. USC's emergence since Kiffin firing has kind of put a damper on that where, this is UCLA's town again. Well, we don't know. We'll find that out next week, whether what happened last year was a blip or was it a trend. And, there have been upsets in the series before, the classic, UCLA stunner over USC in 2006, the 13-9 game. That was a blip because it didn't change the course of the series. The sense now is that UCLA is a legitimate, is in it for the long haul, and that they will flip the series. Now USC has something to say about that next week, but UCLA cannot. USC can look forward to the game because they play Colorado. UCLA cannot look forward to the USC game because they play Arizona State. So they've got some work to do before they have to worry about that one.
Well, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. I mean, we could go on and on about the next coach at SC and all that stuff, but I appreciate your time today, Chris. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Chris Dufresne, he is a must-follow in the college football circles, at Dufresne, 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 LA Times, national college football, basketball columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Chris Dufresne, one of the best in the business. Appreciate his time here from Pasadena. We're doing the show today from the Tournament House. Tell you what, the Rose Bowl people, and you know this already, when you're in the bowl business, it's like the Fiesta Bowl. You have to be first class. You have to be first cabin. I mean, you don't have to be. Little old me comes on out here, and they're just rolling out the red carpet all over the place, right and left, which is great. They appreciate us being out here all around the game, ASU, UCLA. Tomorrow we'll be doing all sorts of stuff on social media, on our website. You know, my Twitter handle is @BradSesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Our website, sports360az.com. We'll have video. We'll have pictures. We'll have all sorts of stuff. Plenty more to get to as we roll through a busy Friday here in Pasadena, where the weather is beautiful, but I understand the high school football games across the state have been canceled. It's the weather, crying out loud. Up next, we'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys, still to come. Goody at the movies. I'm going to talk to Goody about the media side of the JFK story today on the 50-year anniversary and much more after this timeout. I'm Brad Sussman.
Covering ASU football on the road, live from California, here's Brad Sesmat.
We're here at the Rose Bowl at the Trophy Room, getting ready for ASU UCLA. That'll be tomorrow night. Our coverage here in Los Angeles brought to you in part by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, fast, friendly, and affordable, just plain easy to more than 35 destinations via Allegiant. Gateway Airport, justplaineasy.com. Appreciate Gateway Airport and their support of getting us out here to Pasadena to do our show from the Trophy Room at the Tournament of Roses Association here in Pasadena. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now. Always good to catch up with Jimmy every Friday, South Point Casino. I'm going to throw something at you a little different, and if you're not comfortable with it, I understand, but when I thought of you and I in our segment today, I could do all the football and we'll get to it. But Jimmy, you and I visited for a number of years, and the JFK anniversary date is today. Everybody's talking about it. Where were you?
I was 18 years old. I was leaving Youngstown State University, my first semester there. I was walking down the fire escape steps to get to my car to go home for the weekend, and a girl ran out of the cafeteria and screamed, "Kennedy has been shot." And it pretty much stunned the bunch of people who I was around, and actually the people in and coming out of the cafeteria. Got in my car, and by the time I got to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, naturally it was on every radio station, and I was about halfway home when it came across that obviously that the president was dead. So pretty traumatic moment in my life, and not so much as, like, obviously what did I understand about politics? Not that much, but I knew that everybody liked this guy. Maybe it was a different way of doing business. So but to answer your question, young man, I was 18 years old, full of crazy stuff, but that slowed me down for the next 3 or 4 days. Just got home, watched TV like most of America until I returned to Youngstown the following week.
People said, and we'll get to football after this question, but people said that that moment really changed the face of America and that we lost innocence. Did you sense that?
Well, you know, being my background, and even at that young age, I understood. I liked the gambling part of it. I liked to talk about those things. I understood parlay cards, and at a young age. But I remember talking with my group at that time. There was about 10 or 15 for that entire weekend. And once again, little we knew about it. But I did make a statement that I can even remember clearly 50 years later. That, you know, all bets are off now. It just seemed like, you know, how much worse could it get? It can't get. Can't get much better than what we've had, and naturally following that with the Martin Luther King, and then and obviously Bobby Kennedy. So, and I'm not here to profess, you know, that I know morality or whatever, but I think it really started to get bad after we killed the president.
Yeah, no. And I appreciate your insight and your honesty on that, Jimmy. Appreciate it. ASU UCLA out here. So, what are they saying in Vegas about ASU UCLA Sun Devils win, Pac-12 South champs?
Well, I'm telling you something, my friend. You guys aren't sneaking up on anybody anymore. We know it's a doggone good football team that you have out there, and Arizona's playing well also. You're a favorite on the road against the UCLA Bruins. You're a 2.5-point favorite. The trickle of money has come in on the underdog there, and I suspect the line will go down only because of the proximity of our California people who will start to come to town this weekend. But you guys have a lot in store for this team, so you should be a road favorite. You are a road favorite, so you can see the odds makers know that, once again, you guys aren't sneaking up on anybody.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino in Vegas with Brad Sussmat. Baylor, Oklahoma State, huge game as well.
Monster, big-time game here. First of all, I'll give you this one. They are total on this game is 78. And, my friend, they're the second highest total of the weekend. Who do you think is the highest college football total?
Manziel.
No, the Manziel, they're only 72.
Oregon. Oregon.
No, you're even wrong with that one. They're low because Arizona. No one would guess this. Obviously, it's curveball. Well, you would if you'd really thought about it. Ohio State and Indiana, 81.
Yeah.
So you can see these totals have gone crazy, but I just thought I'd throw you in a little bone there. Baylor opened 8.5. We got as high as 10. Buyback money on a real good Oak State team. They've taken the dog there. They're smart. They've taken the double digits. And we'll see what happens. It's very apparent that Baylor could truly make a great statement here because I believe this would be the biggest test that they would have for the year so far. And who knows? If my little dream is like, and I love college football so much, I want to see Baylor play Ohio State. I want to see what would happen there. But to answer your question, yeah, money early on the favorite, money on the dog. But when we get to game time, I think we'll see a two-way split. The recreational guys who've been riding Baylor the entire year, and I cannot blame them to keep betting them because obviously last week, even if you laid 27.5 and you were down 20-0, you still got the cheese if you bet Baylor. So when you get those type of teams, Brad, people just glom to them. And I really have no reason to tell them not to because they've been cashing tickets left and right on Baylor the entire year.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Cardinals-Colts over on the NFL side, very interesting game for Arizona. And they're sitting there at 6-4, one game off the playoffs. I mentioned your name earlier this week a couple of times saying, do you think there's some people in Vegas that were upset with the way the New England-Carolina game ended and how it could have ended because that game impacts the Cardinals. If Carolina doesn't win, they pick up the flag, Patriots score. So we're in the middle of something interesting in Arizona. Usually we don't have a playoff team around Thanksgiving time with the NFL.
Well, first of all, I eat my words a little bit. Last week I told you it's really hard to bet on your team when they're a road favorite, and they did cover. And they played well against an inspired young group of kids who obviously have got a win under the belt. This, I won't use the word supreme tester, but you beat Andrew Luck, you're 2.5-point favorite. Anything can happen, and right now I would have you a favorite to make the playoffs. The Andrew Luck thing, it's wore off a little bit. He played much better the first, 50% of the season up to this date and really hasn't played that well lately. This is another prime spot for you guys to say, okay, we've made these moves. Are we ready maybe to challenge to get to the playoffs? A big game, but it's very apparent here. It's not like you're an overwhelming favorite as a home favorite here under the field goals. And, yes, there would definitely be money, and there will be money if the game goes to 3, and taking the Colts plus the 3 will be probably one of those wise guy games. So you're in a unique position. You made me eat my words last week, and we'll see what happens this week. Don't know what to tell you about the outcome of the game, but we'll see what happens.
What are you seeing in terms of interest right now in Denver, New England from a betting standpoint?
Big time. There's no doubt about it. You have a tale of two cities here. You have Denver, who took care of Kansas City last week. And, not that Kansas City ever was in the position to win the football game, but they kept it close. And even in the last few minutes of the game, you had a chance to cover if you had Kansas City. But Manning did what he had to do. They won the football game. They're now the premier guys in that division again. And the other side of the coin is like you saw Brady with his tirade at the end of the game. Obviously, that was a big difference of where they are in this particular point in time of the season. They played against a pretty good Carolina team who's going to pop their head up a lot between now and the end of the year. So you have a real bunch of mad Hornets, Patriots now, and the Denver Broncos, in a sense, flying high over Mile High Stadium, even though they're back east. The road favorite, Denver, it's only been the second time, I think, in the last, 15 years, Brad, where the Patriots have been home dogs. And I think it's only the last 10 years where they've been a dog 2 weeks in a row. They were a dog last week against Carolina. They are a dog this week, even though it's only 2.5 points. One of the higher overs and unders, or I think it's at 53 right now. But interesting game. More on the Patriots need to win as opposed to Denver, but obviously the flex schedule works well for us. It follows a big-time Dallas Giants game, so it'll be another jam-packed day here in Las Vegas.
Nothing short of that, which is the way that it should be. Jimmy, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas, South Point Casino. We're here at the Rose Bowl and getting ready for ASU-UCLA tomorrow, all sorts of angles around the game and having some fun. Goody at the Movies joins us in a few minutes because you have to have a life this weekend, too. The Rose Bowl game Twitter and Facebook accounts on social media, along with their partners at ESPN, have been active in commemorating the 100th Rose Bowl game, sharing memories, trivia, facts, all of that. Not only are the Rose Bowl game social media accounts giving away one-of-a-kind memorabilia, but a few lucky winners have won a trip to Pasadena to experience the historic Rose Bowl game in person. So, stay close to the action, try your luck at winning prizes following the Rose Bowl game on Twitter. On Twitter, at Rose Bowl Game, and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Rose Bowl Game. That is the social media side of the Rose Bowl. Appreciate their support in having us out here today. It's a great day out here. The sun is shining. It's about 70 degrees. I was down at the field this morning. Last night I was over at the Rose Bowl, and the people are all geeked up out here for this matchup tomorrow, ASU and UCLA. Good Eat the Movies is next on the other side, and then much more as we continue on from Pasadena. We broadcast from the Rose Bowl Trophy Room, the tournament house here on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Brad Sussmat. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. I'm on Facebook as well. Back here in Pasadena, Brad Sussmat, Rose Bowl Trophy Room at the tournament house doing the show from today. Appreciate the people here at the Rose Bowl. They've been terrific. Weather is great out here. Is the matchup for tomorrow night. I cannot wait. Very seldom do I find myself as geeked up for a game as I am tomorrow, but there's a lot of excitement out here in Pasadena. There were already ASU fans out on the streets last night in Pasadena having a good time. No, they weren't sleeping in the gutters. They were having a good time. And I'm very pleased. I've just gotten my Heisman ballot, and I've got to figure out about Jameis Winston. I'm not even sure they invite him now. Think about this. Do the Heisman folks even invite Jameis Winston to the ceremony in New York City if this story continues to move forward? Just to the point where it is now, are there people at the Heisman saying, well, we got Manziel, and we can have McCarron, he can bring his girlfriend, and we get a good rating, and if we have Winston there, would it be uncomfortable? I haven't decided what I'm going to do, because, look, if it's a he said, she said, which right now it appears it's a he said, she said, but you don't want to rush to judgment on this stuff, right? I mean, think about it from the standpoint of what's gone on with the Miami Dolphins and how the stuff with Incognito changed day and hourly and to a point where you don't want to rush in on something like this. So I've got to hold back on the Heisman, and I see on Facebook and Twitter everybody's weighing in on that. And just slow down, just relax. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. When I say it's all about you, Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick, has been a huge supporter of what we do. We are here today in a big part because of what he has done for us. He said, Brad, I believe in your vision of going places, being at places, telling stories. Go do what you do. And Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers are right there alongside of you and behind you along the way. And he's been true through the last 2 years. I appreciate that and his support. He'll be out here tomorrow. If you're looking for that place that you can trust to get that next vehicle, think about Santan Ford next week, Thanksgiving. Storms are in Arizona. You may be driving out here to California, up to the mountains. Are you comfortable in the vehicle that you're in? Do you feel very good about it? Safety, of course. Maybe you're in the market now for a truck to get an F-150 up to the mountains. Think about Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Now it's time, as always, because it's Friday. We've gone through a lot of the college football stuff. We've gone to Vegas. And now we need to go to the big screen. It's Goody at the Movies, Chief Film Critic for Gannett, and AZ Central, Bill Goody Coons. And just a few minutes ago, I had a friend on social media who sent me an invite to your local anchors celebrate a legend. Join Mark Curtis, Faye Fredericks, and Bill Goody Coons for Anchorman at the Merck Bar on Friday, December 13th, to see Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, and to talk about it. Are you going to see the movie at this event, or is it just for you guys to sit there and yap about?
It is. No, it's just, we're not even going to, I mean, I will have seen the movie, but we're going to talk mostly about, I'm going to talk, sort of quiz them on what it's like to be an anchor, and to be a local anchor in particular, I think, because sometimes sometimes, you know, they get kind of a rough go of it. You know, they're, oh, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Now, you know, maybe they can explain some of those things. And also, I'll tell you this, and I know that you have worked in a lot of different media, pretty much all of them as far as I know, and I've dabbled in most of them. And I think that I got a greater appreciation when I started doing more television work for how hard it is, particularly live television.
You know, I'm not going to – this will sound a little arrogant. It doesn't mean to be. It's really not that hard if you know what you're doing.
I think so.
I'll give you an example, Bill. But, Bill, I'll give you an example. So today I'm out here at the Rose Bowl, right? And I happen to see that the TV morning shows back in Phoenix are all doing live shots out in front of Sun Devil Stadium to talk about the ASU-UCLA game. That is where media has just fallen completely apart. The story isn't in Tempe at Sun Devil Stadium. You can connect the dots. The story, last time I checked, it's going to be played here. So you need to be here. But we're in a day and age with local media where they don't appreciate that. They say they can't afford it. I don't know. Tank of gas, drive on out here, stay at a nice little hotel, plan it out right. You can stay out here. You're just lazy. That's what I see now in local media.
Well, I also have to factor in that there's an economic necessity now that wasn't there 10 years ago. I mean, we used to – when I first went to work for the Republic, man, I went everywhere. I've been just about everywhere. And I found in some magazine somewhere a spam carving contest in Seattle. And I said, hey, why don't I go up here and write a column about that? Next thing I knew, I was on a plane. Those days are over, and I'm not sure that it's such a bad thing they are over. But you are right that, I mean, if you're going to do the story, you probably got to do it right. You know, you got to do it there. But I think that there are – and by the way, that's not just local media. That's national media. That's everybody. Everybody except the NFL probably. But I think everybody has, you know, certainly these last few years faced some economic realities that really hinder what you can do.
Is it economic realities or it's just being plain smart? Is it, look, we're going to go places. That's what I'm doing here with my little company. And I managed to go to every single ASU road game. We're going to be down in Tucson tomorrow. I have big media companies that are saying, how can we get to be a part of this? I don't know. You guys are big media companies. Figure it out. It shouldn't be that difficult.
If you continue in this vein, I'm assuming that next year we will have this conversation on your yacht.
No.
I don't know, and I don't make those decisions. I'm sometimes affected by those decisions, but yeah, I mean, I don't make them. But you got to pick your battles. Maybe, you know, for some people, an ASU game or the resurgence of the ASU football team isn't as big a story as, you know, some other thing that they're covering. I don't know because I'm not privy to that stuff. Remember, a lot of these companies have more than just sports that they've got to sort of spread the wealth.
I understand that. I understand that. Good eat the movies with us. I feel much better now. I got my rant out.
And Hunger you're Games, there. You should feel good.
I know. I ask you a question. Is it worth seeing? Of course it is. Jennifer Lawrence is in it. Of course it's worth seeing. Is this any good? Is Hunger Games any good?
It is, and I am as surprised as anyone. I did not much care for that. The first one was okay, but, you know, it was kind of flat. And it looked, even though they spent a lot of money on it, it looked kind of cheap. But this one is much better. I have not read the books, but a lot of people, including my kids who have, tell me that the second book, like a lot of times, it's that in-between thing. It's not as good as the first and that sort of thing. But the movie's better. And it's got some cool twists. If you've read the book, you probably would know what they are. I don't think that matters. It's still well done. They've also added some cool people like Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's always good as sort of a bad guy. And there's a new, like, competitor in the Hunger Games who's some handsome dude who's very arrogant and cocky, but there's some neat twists. And I thought, you know, it becomes about something a little bit bigger than just the Hunger Games. It becomes kind of a revolution here towards the end. I don't think that gives too much away.
Okay. So it is worth seeing. I mean, because with the weather being awful and the high school football games have been canceled tonight, there's going to be guys that are sitting around the house saying, okay, what am I going to do here? And my suggestion is go score some points with her and take her to go see Hunger Games.
Sure.
Pretty simple.
JFK,
so tonight and today, from just the TV media coverage, yesterday I heard interviews with Brokaw and Rather as I was driving over here, and they were gripping. I wasn't around, you weren't around, but from a history standpoint, you're a history buff, I do believe. What are you seeing out of the media coverage today of the 50-year anniversary?
Well, you know, one of the things you're doing down at the Cronkite School, ASU's downtown campuses, they're replaying in live time at the exact same time, minute to minute, Cronkite's coverage of the shooting. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty dramatic. I think, you know, one of the iconic moments in television journalism is Walter Cronkite taking off his glasses and sort of clearing his throat. And, you know, this is a guy who has covered World War II, you know, in Europe, and, you know, and he's sort of trained not to show emotion. And, you know, when he did that, I think that made it real to people. And, I think you're seeing a lot of that. I think that here's one of the things about what that did, I believe. That was the first, you know, the first assassination in however many decades, but certainly the first to be covered by the media in real time. And what that was sort of a precursor to what something like CNN and those networks would become. But these people were doing it on the fly. They, you know, they had no training for this kind of thing. They'd never had to do this kind of thing. They just went with it. And
right.
And if you go back and you look at it now, there's some stuff you can find on YouTube. Some of the information was incorrect. Some of it was wrong. But it was not necessarily done the way some things are done today. It wasn't wrong because they were trying to be first to get it, you know, and stuff like that. And we're going to, you know, then we'll massage it later. I think part of it was done because people were genuinely stunned. And just this was uncharted territory for the media. But I think it also changed not only the media, it changed the audience, and it changed what we expect. We want, from then on, if it's happening, we want to know about it, and we want to know about it now.
Right, right. Well, that's well put. That's pretty cool. The Cronkite School is doing that. I appreciate your time. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Enjoy the game.
I shall. There's Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykunz. Goody at the Movies every week, chief film critic for Gannett, and, of course, all-around good guy, Bill Goodykunz. You can follow him on Twitter as well. So the high school football playoff games are canceled tonight. That's right. It's the semifinals. I think it's even the finals for one of the smaller, like Division VI, I do believe. It must be a heck of a storm back there, because out here the sun is out. It's a beautiful day here at the Rose Bowl. We're at the Rose Bowl Trophy Room at the tournament house. The people here at the Rose Bowl have been absolutely tremendous. They've given me all sorts of stuff to talk about the game and a nice setup in the middle of the trophy room. I'll have plenty of content throughout the day, throughout the night, tomorrow as well, on my Twitter feed. It's at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, very simple. And, of course, we have Sports360AZ on Twitter as well. It's just at Sports360AZ.com. And then the website, plenty of content, not only around tonight's cancellation of the high school games, you want some more on that, but also around the ASU-UCLA game. Jared Cohen with Sports 360 will be in Tucson tomorrow. He'll be at the Oregon-U of A games. We've got both huge games covered with our little old Sports360AZ.com. On the road here, thanks to the good people at Santan Ford and also Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport's just plain easy for their support in getting us out here to Pasadena and covering all this stuff. Sports360AZ.com.